Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, honored to be your host. Thank you guys for tuning in to the voice of the American Readout and the voice of the resistance against everything anti-American and that goes against our Judeo-Christian heritage. This is a great day. I had a rough week. I had a really rough last week. last Saturday, hey, how do you like my new microphone settings? They work. Isn't that amazing? We just had so many gremlins in our system last week. It was pretty amazing to navigate through this labyrinth. And I got through it without shooting my computer. But anyway, we got it all sorted out. So we are back. And thank you guys for your patience and your grace. Now, and welcome to our 96.5 listeners on the ACN network. And welcome to those of you outside the wire in occupied territory tuned in for hope, truth, encouragement. We've got some of that coming at you today because there's some things that need to be addressed. I receive a lot of emails from folks that are saying, man, I feel surrounded on all sides. I mean, even at my church, I think they're going off the rails. They're telling us to embrace this stuff in the world. And I know in my gut, my spirit is telling me it's not right. And I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I mean, you can't talk to them. It's like, I'm living in Alice in Wonderland. And so hopefully we'll have some encouragement for you guys and be able to put some things into perspective. Remember, this is in this day and age, what we must have more than anything else, I think, is discernment to be able to face the challenges that we face today, hold on to our faith. You know, we want to be love, grace, compassion, mercy, and in the meantime, we are dealing with an adversary that has its sights set on our country, our culture, our heritage, our children, and our posterity, which requires of it. We are duty bound to stand against the lies and the evil. And so, anyway, we'll talk about all that, but let's get into the news and commentary from APUPI and the major American networks and the World Network. The news is next right here on Radio Free Readout, brought to you by Glenn Tate, the author of the 299 Days book series. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Let's go to international news. Right off the bat this morning, yet another attack on a train, people suffering burns and knife wounds in an attack on a train in Switzerland. 7 people have suffered burn and knife wounds after a man set fire to a liquid inside a train carriage near Salez and stabbed several passengers, according to St. Gallen police. The emergency services are still on site. This is going on right now. I mean, it's wrapping up. But who done it? It's the first question that comes to my mind. Well, Swiss media are reporting the suspect as a 27-year-old Swiss man. Interesting. We'll see how this plays out. Now, this is Euro News. So, yes, Euronews. Now, Euronews, they're like the CNN of Europe for news. So it's also worth noting that in Sweden, where they have this rape epidemic, where these suspects who are from Somalia, who just get their refugees, who get their citizenship or dual citizenship, anytime something like this is listed in the news, they're listed as a Swedish man who was arrested for rape charges yesterday. But they try to bury the refugee Islam connection. Now, we don't know. It could have just been some 27-year-old Swiss man who just decided to snap. But we'll follow this. I would not be surprised if a little bit of Allahu Akbar was thrown in there, we discover later. In the UK, a government report comes out that there's massive voter fraud in Muslim areas, and they're not challenging it. They're just going to let it go because, well, we don't want to upset the Muslims, our new conquerors. Isn't that something? Pamela Geller's covering that. The UK government report reveals massive voter fraud in these Islamic areas. But they're not going to do anything. They're not going to pursue it. They've already been conquered. We're begging for it. We'll talk about that a little bit today. Washington Post. It's talking about Russia here, deploying an advanced S-400 surface-to-air missile battery to the Crimean Peninsula amid escalating tensions there. According to Russian news reports, the missile system, once operational, would be able to target aircraft deep into Ukrainian airspace. Why would they ever want to do that? Well, right now, of course, NATO is undergoing a massive buildup of military assets to that region as well. So things are escalating, and we're still keeping an eye on the situation in Turkey with this aspiring dictator, Erdogan, in Turkey post-failed coup. So we will see how that plays out, them being a NATO nation, lots of pressure on the international community as far as allegations of torture and mistreatment against those who not just participated in the coup, but anyone who dissented against this regime is being scrutinized, if not arrested, and some of them disappeared. So it's a sad thing to see that our own president is backing him, but we'll just continue to watch it, folks. A little closer to home, U.S. territory now, this disease, Zika virus, now they're estimated in Puerto Rico. They're saying that 1 in 4 people could be affected by Zika this year, by the end of the year, within the next 5 months, 4 months. The Caribbean island has reported 1,914 new cases of the disease just as of last week. And they're saying that there's a total of over 10,500 cases. And this is that it causes birth defects and shrinking head effects of babies. Babies are being born with these tiny little heads. And I don't know, could it be part of our judgment? I don't know. We have a lot of strange, unique, exotic diseases that are surfacing, and they seem to be becoming more and more intensified, doesn't it? There's a great article. If you guys want to follow a great outfit, organization, that really keeps tabs on liberty issues and constitutional advocacy, the 10thAmendmentCenter.com does just a great job. If you ever get a chance, as they have various speakers going around, to get in front of those guys and listen to them, you'll get a great education on your Constitution. And the things that the government's doing unlawfully outside the Constitution. And they're great watchdogs for this. They're hated by the SPLC, so that's, you know, that's part of the vetting process. These guys are worth listening to. Now, in Newport Beach, they're running this story that, and I tried covering this last week when we kept having technical issues. If you park your car in Newport Beach, Newport Beach, California, police will likely scan your license plate with an automated license plate reader, according to police. Automatically makes you the subject of a criminal investigation. Well, how does that work? What they're doing is they're harvesting license plate data, where you've been, how long you've been there, direction of travel. They are building retrievable databases, which I think there should be legislation for. I'd love to see legislation addressing this. Absolutely unlawful to build any retrievable database on citizens' actions, movements, without them being suspicious of a crime, or suspected of committing crime under, with probable cause. But they're just harvesting all of this information. Now, this journalist tried doing a public information, public records request to see how many times his license plate was documented, and they said, we can't release it because this falls under the exemption. Data collected by automated license plate readers are exempt from disclosure under the Public Records Act. The data collected by, it's called ALPRS, or ALPRS system, is exempt from disclosure because it constitutes law enforcement records of investigation. So now you're part of a police investigation just because they documented your license plate. And with no oversight, no accountability, no disclosure, it's private, it's kept from the public's eyes because it's part of an official, because police investigation. This is wrong. This is really wrong. Judge Napolitano said Congress decided that since the states regulate guns, not the federal government would never be able to keep a list of every gun owner and every gun owned by that person, but they are anyway. So they're building databases on everything. This is the part that's frustrating and that the left doesn't get when they say that we are anti-government. We're not anti-government, but we are opposed to the government being above the law. When they are acting unlawfully, they should be held to account. But to speak up against that somehow has become anti-government. Well, this is why we're here in this position in our country. Satan, after schools receive requests for after school Satan Club in Missouri. Gator, we're a little off track, right? We'll be right back.
Let's take a little trip back to April of 1775. Most of us remember the midnight ride of Paul Revere from Boston to Lexington Green, but do you recall exactly where his destination was? Paul Revere rode to the parsonage of Pastor Jonas Clark to warn John Hancock and Samuel Adams that the British were coming to arrest them. It was the men of the Lexington Church who answered the bell as minutemen the next morning and routed the British. The Minuteman commander, Colonel Parker, was actually Deacon Parker from the church. In reality, local pastors like Jonas Clark and John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg and others played a key role in turning the hearts of the colonists to liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And whom the Son, Jesus, has set free, he is free indeed. Oh, that our pulpits today would bring God's word to bear on the issues we face in America. This has been your Patriot Moment.
Some of you may be asking yourselves, why should we be bothered with developing citizenship responsibilities? Well, there are many reasons. One of the primary reasons is that great principles do not live from generation to generation without being nurtured, without being kept vigorously alive. Unless we understand and work effectively for the principles upon which our American way of life is founded, the structure will crumble and our heritage of freedom will perish.
Radio Free Readout.
Warning of the lies and the deception and the threat against all that we value, the heritage, our heritage, and Americanism. And here's a pretty good example right before we went into the break. By the way, this is segment two brought to you by Works Holsters. Your custom-made Kydex holsters, inside the waistband, outside the waistband, multiple models and designs, color schemes, all kinds of custom color schemes, custom-made. Go to Works, W-E-R-K-Z.com, and those have a lifetime guarantee on all of those, and they're made right here in the American Readout. This trend that we're on, where we are headlong into this agenda for the separation of children and God, and just the separation of God from America, I think it was... Isn't that in the Constitution, the separation of God from America clause? It's got to be in there because the way they talk, it makes me think that it's part of one of our official documents. I keep looking for it. U.S. News, out of Kansas City, after school religious clubs appear to be the next venture of a national group that sought to install a statue of Satan outside of two state capitals, protest Christian monuments on the grounds. The Satanic Temple contacted 9 public school districts across the country this week seeking to start after-school Satan programs. And now I just have this story and I didn't pull it in. A Satan worshiper, a Satanist, did the invocation in Alaska, the state of Alaska, for their legislature. I got to pull that up. In the name of inclusion and not being discriminatory, you know what? It's going, how blatant does it have to get for us to say no? There's really nothing we won't say no to anymore. We're going to get forced into the situation where it's going to have to be so bad that we're just going to have to say no, but it'll be too late. And we fear man. We fear litigation. We fear polls and opinions and public opinion more than we fear God. So it's just like the saying goes. When you fear man more than God, you sell out. And America is being sold out. That's the truth of it. In the American Readout, I got this article here from CBS News. The most heavily armed states in America. Oh, this is, well, it's got my attention. What do they have to say? Well, number one is Wyoming. Yay, American Readout State. Number two, Washington, D.C., the most heavily armed, yeah, probably because of all the official government security, because it's a police state. Number three is Arkansas. Number four, New Mexico. Number five, Virginia. Six is Idaho. Seven, Alabama. Eight, Nevada. Number nine, Alaska. Number 10, Louisiana. So there's two states from the American Redoubt, Freedom Bastions, and Idaho's number six? What were the other states fall in? Oregon, number 23. Montana, 25. And Washington State came in at 37 as far as gun ownership. So Washington, you've got some work to do. Interesting here too. This caught my eye. I started pondering this. Gun rights activists protested Washington State's voter passed initiative. This is from one of the images. That requires background checks for all gun sales and exchanges. So this is what caught my attention. How in the world did Idaho end up at number six? How did Washington, D.C. end up at number two? Well, the wording is the number of registered guns in this state. As they went through each state, they said the number of registered guns in this state, in the state of Idaho, or wherever it is. Let me pull this up for you. But what's interesting is there are no gun registrations in Idaho. There is no gun registration. Idaho, number six, comes in at a number six with 24.2 guns for every 1,000 residents. That's 39,019 registered firearms. Stop. 39,000 registered firearms? Okay, the numbers, I will assure you, are astronomically higher than what they think. There is no, let me clue you in, most all of these states, there are no gun registrations. You cannot register a gun. In Idaho, you cannot register a gun, nor in Montana, unless it is a class 3 weapon, which is your sawed-off shotguns, your full auto assault weapons. Those are class 3 weapons, which are federally licensed, not at the state level. Although Washington, I believe, has a state registration for those as well. But let's just look at Idaho, our friends, right across the border here from Spokane. There is no gun registration. Most of these states in the top 10 do not have a gun registration. Washington, D.C. does have mandatory registration for those who can have them. And that makes sense that those numbers would be higher. Go to the sheriff's department and say, I just moved here from California and I want to register my gun. Anywhere in Idaho, they're going to stare at you speechless. Here's a post-it note. Just write it down there and I'll keep it over here. And there you go. So how can they, this is CBS News though. So I don't know how in the world they must just try to extrapolate from background check numbers or even the 4473 forms that you fill out at a gun store, they keep in-house. Although the ATF is unlawfully trying to build a database of those forms. They're not supposed to. It's actually against the law. But once again, we're dealing with a government that's above the law. So many 19,000 registered firearms. Look, with the people that are building their own M4s, AR-15 platforms, with the kits, you can build your own. Off the record, you can buy an 80% lower and finish it out, and there's no, not even a serial number, much less a record of it. It's perfectly legal to do, as long as it's not for sale. It's just for your own personal use and not to cross state lines. But, these numbers are way off from reality. Thought that was interesting, though. Okay, what else we got here? I want to Let's see. Jeez. I just got a few minutes. I want to share something with you. For our weekly review of blatant juvenile communist propaganda segment here at Radio for Redoubt, there's an article titled Landslide in November for Hillary, of course. Now, this is from peoplesworld.org. Anytime you see people's movement, people's world, people this, the power of the people, or workers, labor and workers, it's communist, communist rooted. So here's the article. It just starts right off. It's just right off the gate. Donald Trump steals wages. This is great. This is the opening. He'd pick your pocket in a New York minute. He lies and spreads hate. He's a racist and a bully. Bam. They just, pow, set the stage. And yet his numbers keep going up. Do not underestimate Trump and the Republicans. While the establishment GOP was surprised by the successful insurgency of so-called outsider Trump, they are united in purpose. No, they're not, actually. But delivering more inequality, more misery, more instability, and violence against working class people of all races, genders, religions, and sexual orientations. They're united with giant corporations. This is great stuff. This is great propaganda. With Senator Bernie Sanders endorsing the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State. She's not the Secretary of State. She's a has-been. And miserable job at that. The message was loud and clear. We're stronger together, so that's what it'll take. So this is fascinating to read through this. And, of course, there's a lot like it. But this is, I mean, this is a publication, thepeoplesworld.org. And this is what we're dealing with. The communist, let me clue you in. Bernie Sanders, he is a total socialist. Hillary Clinton, very strong communist influences. The stuff that they are proposing, the anti-American doctrine that they are shoving onto the American people would have gotten them arrested 50 years ago, rightfully so. And what's the difference between a socialist and a communist? A socialist is someone who doesn't have the power to take everything you own yet. That's the difference between a socialist and a communist. But we are very divided in this country, and we need to know where we stand. You have to draw a line in the sand and say, I will not compromise. You have to understand what these people, where they're coming from and what they're influenced by. I mean, these are Saul Alinsky influenced people. He wrote Rules for Radicals, dedicated it to Lucifer. And these disciples of that teaching are in the highest positions of power in our country now. And we have failed in holding our ground and to saying no when it comes to abortion, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to our Christian values, when it comes to separating the children of God in government schools. We have it's coming. But there's a remnant. It's the first readout. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great readout, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food, and security surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. at www.revrealty.us. You can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
It makes me livid when I hear the anti-self-defense thugs and their minions in the government, in the media, and from Hollywood talk about common sense gun regulation or reasonable measures to keep criminals from getting their hands on guns. Fortunately, the pro-Second Amendment Americans vastly outnumber the hopeful slave makers. Still, they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Since they can't ban combat rifles or handguns outright without starting the Second American Revolution, they change their tactics. These appear as soft tactics, but their end goal is the same: disarm the American people. And their sights are set specifically on the middle class. These tactics are licensing and registration. This creeping gradualism is nothing short of tyranny, and has historically always led to confiscation. If they were honest with you and me, and especially themselves, they would acknowledge their measures do nothing to reduce crime. But then, reducing crime was never their goal. Vladimir Lenin said, "A system of licensing and registration is the perfect device to deny gun ownership to the bourgeoisie." But I say, never register or license your arms, and never give them up. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
The American Out, going into the last stretch, segment three, brought to you by Riverfront Suites. They are located on the St. Joe River, right outside of beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho. Beautiful little Riverfront Suites is what they are. If you need a place to get away just for the weekend, or if you are in the area looking for property, you need a place to stay and support a Patriot-owned business, riverfrontsuites.com. Check them out. My email is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt. Pretty easy to remember. And emails. I get a lot of emails, a lot of multiple listeners, the same theme. They're dealing with the same issues. So I pulled one out, and I'm going to address that today on this last home stretch here, and there's, you know, an hour's worth of material to cover in 30 minutes, so we're going to have fun doing this. But and if we don't get to it, that's why we've got a podcast on Sunday evenings, right? A little bit different material over there every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Now, last night, I went up to, oh my goodness. Chihuahua, for Steve McLaughlin, his fundraiser for his, he's going for the public lands commissioner. He's going up against a left-wing, hardcore environmentalist. I mean, when you say environmentalist Gestapo or environmental Nazis, she and her backers and the lobbyists are pouring a ton of money into her because there's so much on the line for the implementation of Agenda 21, for mismanagement of these lands, for worshiping the dirt and being poor stewards of it. We listened to the testimony of ranchers that have talked about how much the DNR, Department of Natural Resources, that manages state land in Washington has gone off course, how oppressive they've become, where their regulations have become so restrictive, they are pushing and deliberately attempting to push cattle and timber industries off of those public lands. And you can see the difference where they are being managed by ranchers or forest products industry, the health of the land versus where they've shoved people off or there's nobody maintaining it and managing it is night and day. You've got to get some common sense legislation in there. It angered me to hear these testimonies of these people about what the state of Washington through the DNR and this left-wing environmentalist Gestapo is doing to our citizens and to the state and hurting industry. Steve McLaughlin is going to bring jobs back into those areas. He's going to improve. He's going to get rid of the fire danger. They would rather leave it so it would just go up in smoke. They claim to be environmentalists, but they would just as soon make the forest off limits, no logging, got to leave it natural, got to protect the environment, but they're not because there's so much timber. We saw this in the fires in central Washington last year where there is so much fuel there. You talk about the tons, millions of tons of carbon monoxide that goes into the atmosphere from a forest fire, from a mismanaged forest. It's lunacy. I'm just talking about the situation here at hand, but no, I'm not trying to turn this into a Steve McLaughlin commercial. I'm just the more I learn about it, the more it just aggravates me. And I would love to see him in that position. He needs to be. You guys, these elections are going to be really important. And I don't mean at the state level, at the federal level. All right, you pray about who to vote for. You know, what are your choices? So you're going to go to the polls. You're going to vote not Hillary. But the reason why you need to go to the polls is because the way you're going to preserve Americanism is at the local level and in key state position levels where you can influence those. But I'm telling you, it's the local level, it's at the county level, and then from there, the state level where you do have reach. And it's doable. And what a blessing. The kids from Marble, there's a large group, 15, 20 kids, did a presentation. They had songs, they had dancing, they had a skit where they went through the Bill of Rights, and I was teared up. It was so moving. The way they did it was so classy and so encouraging. And I mean that in the real sense. It you know, you feel courage building up in you to stand for these things. It's just, I don't know, the way they went through it. I'm trying to get a recording. I know they videoed it, and that's worth sharing. What just an amazing thing. And that's and these kids believe in it. They're not just like, I have to do this little skit thing that mom and dad are making me just like do this thing. I have to remember these lines that I'll forget the next day. These kids know this stuff. I'm thinking, how can we duplicate this? How can we duplicate this and plant this, the type of young patriots that are being raised in these little pockets around the American Redoubt? I don't know. I have to pray about it. But it was amazing. I have a testimony here. We produced the Underground Project thumb drives, the hypothetical, what in America if we became so persecuted that we had to start going underground? How would you do that, the mechanics of it? And that's quite a bit of information in there in series that actually missionaries that are working overseas are getting this, and pastors are going through that material like a study guide and studying it together and developing already like safe house networks among church congregations and starting to educate themselves on this stuff. But what we did was we took all of the proceeds from the sales of that in July and split it up. We've got like $410 now going to two different ministries. We had $817 split right down the middle, send half of it to Voices of the Martyrs, covert operations, and the other half is to rescuechristians.org. These guys are dealing with very high-risk activity, smuggling people and Bibles across borders, smuggling people out of hostile areas, smuggling Bibles and shortwave radios into hostile areas that are hostile toward Christianity. And just amazing ministries that are worthy of your support. So we're also going to put, I think we're going to link banners to that on Radio Free Readout at the bottom, so you can continue to be aware of those ministries and the amazing work that they're doing for persecuted Christians around the world. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to be shooting that off on Monday, and we're really excited about that. Thank you guys for your help and supporting that. Okay, now I've got a letter here that represents actually the same sentiments of many, many people. He says, John, hoping that you can point me in the right direction on a couple of issues. I have a brother who is part-time minister / missionary to the inner city near me. He told me he is struggling with whether to vote for Trump because he's nominally pro-life or for Clinton because she is pro-refugee rights. Let me, clarification here. He's considering possibly voting for Clinton because she is pro-refugee rights. Okay. He says the idea of vetting refugees before letting them here is an invasion of their privacy. Please understand, I'm not seeking to promote either candidate. I asked if a newborn's right to life was more important than a Muslim's right to privacy, and he literally blew up at me in a public place. I then proceeded to discuss this with other family members who agree about the threat of Islam here in the States, and I was lectured on name it and claim it, specifically that I should not warn others of the danger that Islam presents to our culture because our words have power and we reap what we speak. And what we should be speaking is peace and prosperity. So we have a delusion setting in to the body of believers. This is where I said we lack discretion. I mean, we lack discernment. We lack discernment as Christians in this country. It will be our downfall. He says, here's my dilemma. The churches in my area are riddled with either name it and claim it prosperity teachings or seeker-friendly, emasculated vision of Christ. I have resigned myself to holding a house church on my own. Where can I find teachings that I can apply that don't fall into these traps? Oh, that's quite a letter, isn't it? There's a lot in here, and I'm hoping actually we can get to it all. Okay, so first of all, I'm not a pastor. I have not been to seminary. I love the Lord. I love His Word. I love the country that He blessed us with and the freedoms and the blessings of liberty that came with it. I want to preserve that relationship with Him. I want to restore it as much as I can, restore the republic if possible. But if the rest of the nation rejects it, my hope is that demographically, the American Redoubt becomes so much more strengthened than it already is, that this region, when the republic falls, like every other empire, this region will decide what type of government it will have. America, when things come full circle, will not look like it does today. If history is any measure on what America is going to look like in the future, it's going to look like several smaller countries. We're not talking about anybody even declaring independence from the United States. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about not us doing it. This is God's hand. When He drops the hammer on this country, it's going to shatter it. So, right now we're dealing with this time, this day, this age, and we do have some very difficult times coming. We have challenges coming. Intensified persecution. So, it's interesting for the name it and claim it. What he's talking about is the speaking of the word. Our words are so powerful. God spoke our universe into existence. So words are very powerful. So we need to be careful about the words that we speak because they can turn into things. Okay, first of all, A, you're not God. All right, secondly, there's a difference between our words that we say and could come into being versus God's word. Okay, it's the things that we say will only come about if it's God's will. How many of us pray for this child to be healed? And we believe it. We know he can. We don't lack faith. And we pray fervently in the name of Jesus. And this little child is not healed. And he passes away. It's because we have to pray and know that anything we speak as Christians can be done if it's his will. So just saying something doesn't mean it's going to happen. Saying something in faith, believing it, will happen if it's his will. But anyway, sometimes speaking the truth and things for what they are doesn't make them happen because you said it. If you look at the sky and say, the sky's blue, it didn't become blue because you said it. It's a fact. You're making an observation. So here's some observations for you where things, this was laid out. Deuteronomy. Remember, this is not us saying bad things are going to come to America and now it's going to happen because we said it. Because God's word says it. If you go to Deuteronomy, it talks about the blessings and the curses. Chapter 28. The blessings and the curses. The Islamic threat to America, this is a threat. They are going to dominate. This is part of their strategy. Oh, you shouldn't say that as a Christian because words have power and you can make it come true. All right. How about what God's word has to say? This is what he has to say when we rebel against him. And are we in rebellion? Is this nation, all the way up to the top level, our national policy and our laws? I mean, not the law of the land, but the laws that have been passed, they are in rebellion against God. We murder babies. We have acknowledged a perverted marriage that flies in the face of God directly against his word. So, yeah, we're in rebellion. So what can we expect when we're in rebellion? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and read all the blessings. You're reading American history. If you read the blessings in Deuteronomy chapter 28, that's America. He was actually talking to Israel. But what I'm saying is the principle of honoring God and being blessed by it. He was talking about America as you're reading that based on the blessings that we've had. You can see a direct correlation. It's a model that he had with Israel, the founders of this country, honored God and he blessed us for it. But now we rebel against him. So, what are the curses? Talking about the Islamic threat? Well, let's take a look. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven, and you will become a thing of horror for all kingdoms on earth. A people that you do not know will eat what your land and labor produce, and you will have nothing but cruel oppression all your days. The sights you see will drive you mad. In verse 33, the Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation. The Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you or your ancestors. There you will worship gods of wood and stone. He's talking to Israel here. And, of course, they were hauled off to Babylon and to Syria. The Syrians came in, Babylonians came in. So they were actually hauled off. They were turned over to their enemies. They were defeated by their enemies. There are additional curses here when you rebel against God. The foreigners who reside among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. They will lend to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head, but you will be the tail. This is a curse for rebelling against God. Ask yourself,
Are we in rebellion against God? Yes or no? And if yes, then what can we expect if he has blessed us, just like he did the Israelites, can't we not expect for him to deal with his people with judgment because he's a just God? In 49, it says, oh, and this is interesting too. They will lend to you, but you will not lend to them. In the Seattle area, they just passed, I meant to pull the story up, where Muslims, I don't want to mess it up, with something to do with lenders, where they will not charge the Muslims usury. They won't charge them interest, like on home loans and stuff, because it's against their religion. Interesting. I'm starting to see this shift. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth, like an eagle swooping in, a nation whose language you will not understand, a fierce-looking nation without respect for the old or pity for the young. They will devour the young to your livestock and the crops of your land until you are destroyed. They will leave you no grain, new wine, or olive oil. Oh, don't say these things. It might come true. Guess what? God already said it. It's going to come true if we don't pull our heads out. I mean, if we don't repent. So, just because also, because we say it, if it's not God's will, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Look how many times David said, Saul will surely kill me. Saul's going to kill me. Look, the safest person you could have been is David. He was going to be king. Nothing was going to happen to him. Supernaturally covered, but still he was afraid. Oh, God, protect me. Saul, surely, he's going to kill me. No, he's not. But, and it didn't come true because he said it. God's will be done. Regardless of what words you say. But all of God's words, like when he says, here are the blessings and here are the curses, we better listen to that. Now, it was kind of cool because we corresponded a little bit, and he sent back to me this. His daily devotional, after I responded to him, was this, from 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. As we are entering some of the most turbulent times in history, we've been receiving an unbelievable amount of email expressing concern for the future. But I want to tell you a little something. The future is victory. It is not defeat or loss. If you think about it, all the great leaders of the Bible shone in the hardest times. That's when they really rose to the occasion, right? Now, this is a cool devotional, and it is timely, because you start to see this heaviness coming in our country. But then you've got to remember, we are victorious in the end. But, and I know we say, hey, we win in the end. But you know what? It's God wins in the end. We're going to reap the benefits of that. We are going to be heirs of that victory. But we were told we are going to be facing persecution. We also see multiple examples I'm going to talk about here in just a little bit, where God's judgment came to people. Now, there's, in saying this, even though we win, there is a sense of loss. There's a sense of loss and a sense of grieving for my country. I grieve for my nation. I grieve that we are not repenting. I pray for repentance, but I also plan on being part of the remnant should my nation continue down this path and choose not to repent. And they're not repenting. They're becoming increasingly rebellious. They're becoming hostile toward God. It angers them. It makes them like tug, pull on their hair and scratch themselves and arch their backs and flop around, right? At the mention of God, they're becoming increasingly hostile toward not God, just God, but his believers. So it's, yes, we win in the end, but we've got a lot of road to cover before we get to the end. And that's what we want to prepare believers for. So don't lose hope, because it's going to be great in the end. And there's nothing wrong with weeping for your nation grieving for your country and trying to do justice and free the oppressed and stand against the oppressors in this time. We're called to do that. Some people say, well, then you're just getting caught up in this world. You're supposed to be of this world. You're in this world, but you're not supposed to be of this world. So you're just concerning yourself with the things of this world. Well, we were placed here in this world for a reason. And we're not doing our job. There are two people recorded in the Bible as weeping over Jerusalem. Jeremiah in Lamentations and Yeshua, Jesus, in Luke. When he approached and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you only knew today what would make for your peace. And this is how I feel. America, I weep for you. If you only knew right now what would make, would restore peace and protect us from exotic diseases and famine and judgment. I have several scriptures here, but a lament for Israel, talking about loving your country. And this is in Lamentations and Chronicles too. Should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. So it doesn't mean there's not famine. That doesn't mean there's not sword and judgment. But when we cry out to him, he'll hear us and deliver us, those of us who are true to him. Even if it takes the whole nation down, we pray that he will deliver us, his remnant, and we stay true to him through all of this. Where was this? In Lamentations. I'm just not going to have time to get into all of this. But here's the problem. We don't know who God is. We lack discernment for the times that we're in, and we forget that God is just for the things that are coming, that he could use the Muslim invasion as part of our judgment. So I'm going to finish talking about some of this tomorrow and wrap it up, because there's a lot of information. He asked, where can I find teachings that apply, that I can apply, that don't fall into these traps? I'm going to give you some resources where you can go as a Christian patriot to be equipped. This is John Jacob Schmidt. Bye.